5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Episode 84 of the Android Buffet Podcast. I am your host, and I'm joined by special guest Jerry Jones.
Hi! I'm here this week.
How are you, Jerry?
I'm fine. Today's my birthday. I am the ripe old age of 37.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, excuse me, we have a copyright issue there. I don't want to pay, For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
Oh, so.
I almost got a copyright violation there.
Almost.
That. Yes. Don't tell Warner Brothers.
Is that who owns the copyright?
I think so.
That's just silly.
It happens. But welcome back. We missed you last week.
I forgot.
Have you ever tried?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever tried to talk to yourself for an hour, Jerry?
No.
I'm told I did well enough, but it works out much better with you around.
I'm sure. And I felt like such a schmuck. I felt really, really bad.
Okay. I will let you feel upset. I was very worried about you. I thought perhaps you might have gotten into some sort of ordeal. But no, that may just be my paranoia.
I'm just an idiot.
I wouldn't have said that. That would be rather rude of me. Anyway, we have a full week of interesting stories.
I need to do my public humiliation of I weigh too much check-in.
Okay, well, you missed there was a voicemail last week about that.
And what did it say?
Give me a moment. I'll play it again for you.
Cool.
Yes.
The meantime, while you're doing that, I'll let you know that this morning I weighed in at 275.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. Little Geek. By the way, Jerry, congratulations on losing the weight. You're a better man than I. I hope you hit your goal weight soon, quick, and with no pain whatsoever. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Although, I have to admit, there is pain because restricting your caloric intake sucks.
Oh, there are many tasty things you can have. You know, I just had some oranges.
Eh? I don't like oranges.
Earlier in the evening, I had some mushrooms.
Were they magic?
No, they were on the pizza.
Oh.
But it was a very healthy pizza.
I'm not sure if that's possible, but okay.
No, it was made with the finest New York City water, and it was made in a coal-fired oven.
Yes, we were talking about pizza a couple weeks ago, weren't we?
Yes, well, I found out about a week ago that somebody I haven't seen in a few years was coming to town for 24 hours. So I picked them up at the local airport. We had food, and I sent them on their way to Manhattan, where they will be spending the night, and tomorrow morning they will be conducting their business, and then tomorrow afternoon they will be returning to the Midwest.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it was nice to see them.
I imagine. Did you have fun?
Yes, they've had 2 children since the last time I saw them.
Wow. So that means, like, at least a year.
No, it's been a couple of years. I've communicated with them, but this is the first time in a few years I've seen them in person. We had a Skype conversation. Yes. But it was nice. We caught up. They stopped into the Android Buffet Studios.
Ooh.
That isn't that much of a thrill. They were here for a few minutes. You know, they got to see where the magic happened.
It's magic.
Now all I have to do is get them
what
to listen to the show.
What was I watching? Okay, we're about to lose our family-friendly rating for this episode. But I was watching some show or some movie, and it was a parody of basically every magic, you know, evil wizard steals princess and good prince has to go rescue him. Had Natalie Portman in it, but
I'm actually very enthused sometimes by Natalie Portman. You know, she's only a couple days older than I am.
She did a really good job. It was very, very much comedy. And I don't see Natalie Portman doing a whole lot of comedy. But in this case, she pulled it off. But the evil wizard zapped himself into the castle. And they were doing some sort of engagement party, and he says, "I'm going to steal your wife." Who, incidentally, the princess that got kidnapped was Zooey Deschelle.
I don't know if you're pronouncing it incorrectly, but I know who you're referring to.
I believe I'm pronouncing it completely incorrectly, but I'm glad you know who I'm talking about. So, I mean, this was not a no-name movie, but...
A name where you're not quite sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah. But her and Natalie Portman, I mean, you know, stars. And the prince asks the wizard, and exactly how he expects to pull off this kidnapping of her and whatever. And he goes, "Magic, motherfucker." And it was just hilarious. I have not laughed that hard in many, many a moon.
Well, if we're recommending things, there was a show I was watching which I find intriguing. Which the pilot episode is going to be showing in a few days, I believe, on NBC. The new show Awake, Amazon Video On Demand, showed the pilot before it was aired on television.
And that's a TV show?
That is a TV show. The premise of the show appears to be that a police officer, after he suffers an accident, apparently is living two lives, one in which his son survived, the other in which his wife survived.
And... he goes back and forth. He goes to sleep and instantly wakes up in the other world.
Yes, I find it very intriguing.
You know, we are not sure which is the real world.
Well, even better, he has two different psychologists who both insist, making good points, that each world is actually the correct one.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer did an episode similar to that.
I don't know whether or not it will take off, but I thought the pilot was intriguing enough to recommend it.
Cool.
I like those sort of science fiction type, mind game type things.
I concur.
Well, give it a shot. The first episode is airing March 1st.
I will.
Okay.
Oh, I did have one more on my birthday and weight loss combined. You know what I got for my birthday? A bike.
Does it have one of those little bells on it?
It does not have a little bell on it.
Okay. How many wheels does it have?
Two.
Okay, so it's not one of those tricycles?
No.
Okay.
It's a mountain-y type bike.
Are there mountains in Jacksonville?
No, okay. Not many.
Yeah, I was struck by that earlier today.
A street bike being a little too frail for my large frame.
But I was struck by the whole mountain-y thing earlier today. Well, I had my guest who I haven't seen in a while who came from the Midwest. And he said he hadn't seen a hill in a while. Apparently it's very flat where he is.
It's very flat here?
It's not flat here. I live near a hill. We have hills in New York, you know, and mountains.
So Murph is asking me what kind of bike I got, and I believe I got a Trek. I think they call it a hardtail because the back wheel is not shock absorbed at all. The front fork has shock absorbers. It's three gears on the front, six gears on the back, 29-inch wheels. Which apparently are friggin' huge. But I like it. I'm going to be taking it on its first ride tomorrow.
Enjoy it. We'll have to hear more about it next week. After you've written it.
And maybe I'll have some recommendations or... actually, right now, I have a request.
If
you are a bike rider, what kind of app do you use to keep track of your routes and your, you know, speeds and stuff like
that? Wasn't there a Google free app like MyTrax or something like that? About it a while back that used to keep track of your route. I think it was called MyTrax. It was a Google app. Anyway, in this week's show notes, I've included a cartoon. Do you like cartoons?
I do. As a matter of fact, as we go off on another tangent.
Yes. And Murph says uses Google's MyTrax, so I did remember the name correctly.
Ghostbusters. I'm a big Ghostbusters fan.
The original, the movies or the cartoon?
All of it. I'm not a big fan of Ghostbusters 2, but...
why not? You don't enjoy it when National Landmarks decide to take walks and people get sprayed with happy goo?
They
make a lot of New York City errors in regards to subway history?
I don't know anything about that.
Well, they did do a remarkable reproduction of the old City Hall subway station, but they identified it as the pneumatic tube station, which there's some debate as to whether or not it was destroyed or not during the construction of the subway in 1912. I'm sorry. I also contribute to transit wisdom.
Okay. Well, I found out for a long time, I grew up watching the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon. And even when they changed formats and turned it to Slimer and the Ghostbusters, I still watched it.
I thought that was a mistake, though.
I do, too. I recently learned that there was a...
Please tell me you didn't find out about the live-action show in the 70s.
Actually, I did find that, but I knew that there was another Ghostbusters cartoon called The Extreme Ghostbusters. So I found some episodes of that and have been watching it. So I like cartoons.
Okay. Well, this is a Dilbert cartoon.
Okay. Are you talking about what you included in the notes?
Yes, I thought it was apropos.
That is not a cartoon. That's a comic.
Comic cartoon. I'm tired. I've been working many, many hours more than I normally do. I'll get there, though. You may have noticed what...
By the hour, right?
Yeah, but you may have noticed what time I sent you the show notes.
Yes.
I don't normally write show notes at 3:30 in the morning. It was at 4:30 by that time I finished.
It's 4:30 on the notes you sent me.
Yes. Usually, I am sleeping at 4:30.
So why were you up?
Well, I couldn't sleep. So I figured I would occupy myself by writing show notes.
Okay. Why couldn't you sleep?
I went to bed early.
Okay, well, I'm not sure how this fits in with the you've been working lots of hours.
Let's see. Well, I've been working 6 days a week, and I will be for the next two subsequent weeks due to some scheduling issues. And today I worked early so that I could accommodate seeing the person I hadn't seen in a while, among other things. So I decided to go to bed early so that I would be able to wake up earlier. And instead, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to bed.
Oh.
It happens. So would you prefer I go with comic strip?
It is a comic strip.
But Dilbert was a cartoon. It went on for a little over a season?
Yes, I have every single episode on my hard drive.
I enjoyed that show.
It was funny. It should have lasted longer.
Yes. Dilbert was voiced by Daniel Stern. I was a big fan of his.
I have no idea who that is.
An actor.
Oh.
Who else would voice? So I will perform the cartoon for those of you who are not looking at the show notes. There's room in the market for a device that's bigger than a phone, but smaller than a tablet. So you want me to design something that is a bad tablet and an even worse phone. To my mind, it's a market niche. Maybe you should get your mind out of your niche.
And of course, they are taking a jab at the Galaxy Note, right?
Yes.
Which I recently saw a commercial for the Galaxy Note and thought, hey, cool.
Yeah, I thought it was amusing that a comic strip was taking a jab at a Android phone, so I put it in.
I like it.
Okay. I will attempt to do a better job at my rendition of the pointy-haired boss the next time it becomes relevant. Anyway, a few things. I now have ICS.
You have ICS. Have you seen a doctor about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't reprogram the sound effects. Ooh, ooh. Anyway. Yes, my transformer got ICS last Friday morning. So I am now an ice cream sandwich user, and I now have Chrome in beta.
And how is that Chrome on ICS on your transformer?
It's much snappier since the last update.
Cool.
And they say they're going to continue to make it better. Yes. Apparently I should talk to my doctor to see if ICS is right for you. Yes. Thank you, Murph, for that. A few bits of non-specific Android news. The FBI turned off 3,000 GPS trackers after the Supreme Court's ruling that they couldn't track people. Since we briefly touched on that at the time, I thought I would mention that 3,000 GPS trackers were turned off.
That's funny.
Yay, liberty. Let's see. The W3C says that WebKit's dominance is damaging the web.
Now, is Chrome WebKit?
It is, as is the Safari browser. As is a variety of other browsers. Basically, WebKit is becoming such a popular engine for browsers that a lot of specific WebKit tags are being adopted to the exclusion of other tags. WebKit, by the way, does not have a majority of the web's users. There's still a large Internet Explorer contingent and a large Firefox contingent.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I did? You know what I did for the first 3 hours of today?
What did you do?
Okay, so the company that I'm working for, which shall, of course, remain nameless.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
We developed the application for Chrome.
An application or the application?
The application. It's the web app, the website, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it works really well on Chrome. However, a large customer, due to corporate policy, can only use Internet Explorer. Now, luckily, they can use Internet Explorer 9, so...
Lucky them. I had to fight to get above 6.
Yeah. So we're... I spent the first 3 hours trying to get this thing to work in IE9. Now, I'm using... we're very jQuery heavy, so the JavaScript's not a problem, but man, the CSS is just a...
And that's what this is about. There are a lot of WebKit-specific CSS conventions.
It's horrible.
Well, you're hoping that an organization like the W3C might work on this. As of now, they're saying that the dominance is damaging the web, but they're not offering a solution.
Well, or standards bodies tend to move really slowly. And if they don't want the WebKit to set the de facto standard, they need to move quicker. Sorry.
Well, it's very hard when your version number jumps 5 points in a year.
We're talking about Firefox.
Well, no.
Chrome, it was a year ago, was at version what? Like 4? And they're at 17 now?
No, it's the same thing. When your versions keep jumping so fast, it's hard when you're innovating that fast. For a standards body to keep track. And that may be more than a standards body can handle. Anyway, a few other things. Would you pay extra for services that use the most data on your phone? So if you were a heavy user of Netflix, would you pay a Netflix fee?
I reckon so, but I would pay that fee to Netflix, not to my user, not to...
No, would you pay...
a carrier.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody is suggesting a la carte pricing by service, which sort of defeats net neutrality.
Well, who are these evil, evil people?
Let's just hope that cell phone companies don't hear about it. Maybe, right? You know, they, you know, read these articles. But I don't understand why you would want... I could see why a company might do some sort of promotion with, let's say, Facebook, where they say, well, we'll give you free access to Facebook. But trying to create a plan...
No, that's just... That's evil, too.
Yeah, but I'm saying I could see why things like that might work. But I can't see for the life of me why a company might want to say, well, we'll charge you $5 a month for accessing Facebook by itself. And then another $5 a month if you want to stream Netflix videos and what have you.
No, that's just evil.
In other potentially interesting news, Sprint almost merged with MetroPCS.
I think that would have been cool.
Well, didn't you tell me that your family has a MetroPCS account?
Two. My wife and daughter are both MetroPCS users.
So you are the lone Sprint user?
I am.
So they would have joined you?
Well, I think MetroPCS would have remained MetroPCS. It's not like...
Well, it says merger.
Yeah.
Merger usually implies that they'll brand themselves under one name.
No, I don't think so. Boost is part of Verizon, right? And they remain Boost. They are the prepaid branch of Verizon.
I don't think they are. I thought they were a third party. I'll have to look into that. In other news, Sprint is being sued by Comcast for patent infringement on SMS, MMS, mobile broadband, and more.
Why does Comcast have SMS patents?
Because patents are valuable business. Remember, if you can't innovate, litigate.
Craziness.
And a man sued AT&T for throttling his service and won.
Wow.
This Matt Spaccarelli said that his phone was being throttled after he'd used 1.5 gigabytes to 2 gigabytes of data within a new billing cycle. Meanwhile, AT&T provides 3 gigabytes to subscribers on a tiered plan that costs the same as his grandfathered unlimited plan. So he won in small claims court.
Cool.
And apparently AT&T is contesting the ruling. Now, see, the thing is that he claims, and I happened to catch an excerpt of an interview that he gave, that his question was, well, how do you determine what it is a heavy user? And apparently the standards are rolling. So essentially,
what does that mean?
Essentially, it changes by market.
Okay.
So basically, you could be a heavy user in your market, but not necessarily a heavy user in somebody else's market. There's
sure,
no
well,
there's no specific standard. So in this case, he is being throttled after he's used an amount of data where somebody who's paying the same amount as him but has a finite amount of data would still not be throttled. So his objection was, and the argument that he apparently used in court was, well, he's willing to be a good citizen on a network and not abuse it, but ultimately, without being told what the definition of being a top user or a excessive user of services is inherently unfair. He was promised unlimited, and he's not getting it.
So apparently he is getting unlimited. He's just not getting unlimited at 3G speeds.
Well, again, that would be limiting his usage. He still
has access to data. They're not cutting him off, but they are slowing him down.
Well, what is it? What in this case, paying for data, does it or does it not give you a warranty of usability? Doesn't it say that you will not be slowed down unless there's a good reason for it to be done? So if they're saying that because you happen to have a specific plan, that they're going to give you less than somebody who has another plan, and they're not going to define what the difference is, that, again, it goes to not necessarily that they're going to slow him down. They say they have the right to slow him down, but they will not tell him clearly and consistently what the parameters are for him to be considered abusing their network. Therefore, he can't be in compliance with them.
Okay, I got nothing.
Okay, but are you disagreeing? How can you be in compliance with a rule?
It is my personal belief that mobile networks do not have the bandwidth available that they need. Now, whether this is the fault of us as users or them for not expanding their network, not really part of the point, but they have to do something.
Yes, but don't they have an obligation to be fair and consistent and clear in what it is they're doing?
No.
Why not? I think
it's ridiculous that you throttle based on monthly bandwidth. What if we all know that bandwidth usage tends to go in cycles, right? It's probably really heavy early in the morning and in mid-afternoon when people are getting off work or during lunchtime. Bandwidth usage spikes, right?
Yes.
Well, what if you use a ton of bandwidth at those times and none throughout the rest of the period? So you are absolutely contributing to congestion of the network at its heaviest point, but you stay underneath your limit. Whereas you can also be one of those guys that uses a moderate amount of bandwidth, but almost all the time. So you don't actually contribute to the congestion, but you do use a lot of bandwidth. Now, which is more damaging to...
Well, this goes back to...
experience.
This goes back to the general point, which is that the standards that are used, regardless of whether you think that they're fair, the standards that this person is being asked to comply with are not being displayed to them. So they're saying that they're abusing the privileges of their account, and they're not told what abuse is.
I would argue that... the abuse that he's getting accused of doesn't actually exist.
I can agree with that. So it makes it very hard for AT&T to prove that he's abusing the network. Therefore, they lost the lawsuit.
I think they lost. He lost the lawsuit because, I'm not a lawyer.
Neither am I, but I play one on TV.
Moving on.
Yes.
Before I get upset.
Okay, Mobile World Congress is this week in Barcelona. And there's been some interesting news from there and more coming. HTC unveiled Sense 4.0.
And it's not coming to the Evo.
I'm not surprised. It scales down the custom skin a bit and lets more Android show through.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be upset about that.
It includes Beats audio built in, so now you can use your Beats with all applications. A new car mode, a focus on improving camera software, and 2 years of 25-gigabyte Dropbox service with each phone.
Ooh.
Makes HTC look very compelling. They're going back and saying that 2011 was a bad year for them. They did not produce any memorable products, and they have simplified their product line.
I want me an HTC Edge.
Which one is the Edge?
It's also like the Endeavor. It's a 4.7 quad core.
But I may consider an HTC phone for my next one. I've stayed with Motorola, and maybe it's time for a change.
Maybe.
We'll see what happens when I'm in the market.
Yeah, that's kind of what it comes down to, right? Is what phones are available when you're looking.
Well, I'm still hoping the LTE battery issue gets a bit better before I go LTE. Because my next phone will be an LTE phone. That's almost a certainty.
Why that?
Anyway, excuse me. An unofficial Google Music API is close to completion. It will be written in Python. And the problem is, of course, with an unofficial API, Google can easily make it not work one day.
Yep.
Other reports say that Google Music may not be living up to expectations overall, so it may be that it will go away entirely. Google has been cutting projects. Specifically with
They kind of have to. They've got about 8 gazillion projects going on. So they kind of have to.
Yeah, but music is, in my opinion, a very nice project. And I think that if they actually had an official API, then people would start incorporating into things and they would get a lot more traction.
Okay.
Now, the person who's writing the unofficial music API is interning at Google this season. So
great.
Maybe that will help.
He's an intern, dude.
Yeah, but maybe he can talk to the right people. And maybe they will make his music API official. Who knows?
Who knows?
Let's see. Samsung released the Galaxy Beam. Now, we don't generally talk about hardware in specific, but the question is, are projector phones going to be the next big thing?
We can hope.
Do you want a projector on your phone, Jerry?
Hell yeah!
What would you do with it?
I'd have a big old screen.
Oh, it's a Pico projector. I'm not sure how big a screen you can get with that.
Do you remember a while back, there was a concept video of a phone that had two Pico projectors?
Yes.
And that doesn't strike you as friggin' cool?
Yeah, but I'm asking you, would you use it?
Yeah.
Okay, so your next
phone. I especially like the idea of one of the projectors being used to project an infrared keyboard on the...
They've been talking about that for a while. It's never really caught on.
It's 'cause there's no real... there's no tactile feedback.
Well, you can get some sort of haptic feedback.
Yeah. Well, how?
I'm sure there's a way.
You can beep, but I think that's about it.
Well, there must be something. Maybe you put down a pad or something.
Well, then that defeats the purpose.
Who knows? Anyway, sounds interesting. Virgin Australia will be using the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 to provide flight entertainment to passengers. It will be free in business and rentable in coach. Virgin CEO John Borghetti commented, "I'm sorry I can't do an Australian accent. The Samsung tablet is being recognized as a better product than Apple. That's not unusual. Second generation stuff usually is. In fact, it's getting better reviews than the iPad 2. The screen itself is better, and the Android-based system is a plus. It's also much thinner, as you know, and overall it's a better product."
Than the iPad 2?
Apparently. That's what John Borghetti is saying.
I don't buy it.
Well, if you want to hear more about Virgin Australia and John Borghetti, I can recommend a good podcast. The Plain Crazy Down Under podcast. they're fun guys. You'd get a kick out of them. They're very amusing.
That just sounds funny.
Why? It's abbreviated PCDU.
No, I'm sure it's awesome. It's a funny title.
Yes, well, as I said, I'm a big fan. They also, the occasional radio-like special that rivals traditional BBC style, mm-hmm. You know, with special effects and such. Worth listening to if you're interested in the topic. I tune in every so often, but I have a lot of podcasts. Sometimes it falls by the wayside. There's now a Chrome extension to allow the downloading of Android apps to the desktop. It does require a bit of hacking, though.
Does it let you run them or just download the APK?
Just download the APK from the market.
Okay.
Not much to say about that, but if you want to do that, there's an app for it. Let's see. The question was asked if Mountain Lion, which is the new macOS, could blunt Android's momentum. And the reason why is that it has incredible integration with iOS. So the question is Google doing enough to integrate Google on the desktop with Google on mobile? And I'm going to say no.
More do you want them to do?
Well, first of all, they have not been innovating in terms of communication between their desktop applications or their web-based applications and their Android-based applications.
Chrome to phone could be a lot better, as well as phone to Chrome.
Well, that should be a primary focus for them. If they want to migrate people and make Android successful, they should make it very easy for people to jump back and forth between them.
I agree.
And that doesn't seem to be as much of a focus for them, and this article just asked if Mountain Lion would blunt the momentum, but I thought the bigger point was, why isn't Google focusing on this issue? Look at how long it took them until Google Docs actually had editing capability. That saves me from mentioning it later. Google Docs was updated and finally allows collaboration and editing. Meanwhile, in the social world, everything is being socialed. Google Voice now allows you to filter by your Google Plus circles.
Well, that's spiffy.
Yeah, so if you don't like somebody on Google Plus and they happen to have your phone number, you can send them to voicemail with a special message. You're in my circle of people I hate. Don't ever call me again. Leave a message at the beep.
That's funny.
A Bicycle is preparing playing cards with near-field communication and accompanying Android apps.
That worries me.
I still can't figure out why.
Oh, I'm sure it's like excellent in casino world.
Yeah, I'm just more saying I can't quite figure out what bicycle thinks that the average person is going to do with this.
I don't know.
And there were some interesting articles in regards to the phone as a desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you use your phone as a portable workstation by adding a Bluetooth keyboard and a TV?
If it was hot, I would.
Why hot?
I mean, if it was like, you know, super, you know, quad core running at like 4 gigahertz, then sure, why not?
Okay. And Canonical, which is the creator of the Ubuntu Linux distribution, is planning Ubuntu for Android. Plug your phone into a monitor and it becomes a desktop computer.
Yeah, because so, that makes sense.
It would be baked into the ROM.
What would?
Essentially a full version of Ubuntu specialized for Android. So if you once
that
you...
That makes zero sense. Ubuntu is an operating system. Well, it's a version of an operating system. And Android is an operating system.
Well, the idea being that it would essentially create a full desktop environment. They would still have the same kernel, but it would create the full environment on which you could run full Linux programs. I'm still waiting to see more about this.
I really don't. That would be like Linux, a special version of Linux that comes with FreeBSD. I mean, really?
Well, in this case, the idea that...
Oh, no, since Ubuntu is a version of Linux and Android is a version of Linux, it would be more like you get a copy of Red Hat and it includes a copy of Debian. Huh? Why would you do that? Does that even make sense? As a Linux person, what I just said, the words, you understand the words that I said, right?
Well, I don't exactly agree with you. Everything is built up. So what they're saying is that they're going to build the desktop part of Ubuntu on top of the Android Linux kernel. And the idea being basically web top.
So they're going to put...
You've seen the Motorola...
desktop on Android.
So that you can get a full distribution. But it will still be on top of the same core.
I'm completely lost. I don't even know how that makes any type of sense whatsoever.
Okay, let's try it this way. Let's approach it a different way. Let's take the Linux out of it for a moment here. Webtop, which is what Motorola tried and didn't get successful at, was essentially you hooked your phone into a shell and it went into desktop mode. And desktop mode had, let's say, a full browser and more full-featured tools. So Canonical is trying for the same thing, a desktop mode for Android.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Google itself might do that. There was rumors that that would be part of the Jelly Bean distribution, which is the successor to Ice Cream Sandwich. Some interesting app this week. You can check out Charge Bar, which is an MIUI battery bar. So instead of a traditional battery meter, you would have a line going over part of the screen that would show your battery and gradually dwindle. If you like that sort of subtle thing, you can certainly try it out.
Did our stream die?
Not that I know of. It says it's still going. I know one person asked if the sound stopped, but as far as I can see, it's still running. I checked as soon as I came in.
Just curious.
Yes. You too can listen to the stream if you tune in live at 10 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. That's androidbuffet.com/live. Tune in now. For all we know, you could be tuning in right now.
Alrighty.
So, Jerry, did you know that the official Twitter app now has ICS support and support for the Kindle Fire and Nook?
I did not.
It does. It still doesn't have a really good tablet interface. But you get there. Let's see. A user hooked up a USB floppy drive to an Android tablet, ran a DOS emulator, and played old games that they loaded off of a floppy. I just thought that was...
Why not?
I just thought that was amusing enough to mention.
I agree.
Yep. Quick Pick, which is my gallery app of choice on my Droid 3, has been updated to version 2.0. It uses a cleaner UI inspired by the Android design guidelines. Quick Pick is a very lightweight and speedy alternative to traditional gallery apps, and it is totally free. I recommend it.
Okie dokie.
SS Launcher is now available. It is a magazine-style launcher that might be worth trying.
Like the type of magazine you put in a gun?
No, as in the type of magazine you read with paper. So,
what, you have to flip the page?
Yes.
It has a table of contents?
Something like that, yes.
It's 40% ads?
No, not quite. Basically, it uses that type of convention in terms of the design.
What does that mean, what convention? What kind of convention do...
The pages flip as if it was part of a magazine. The pages have each page has certain information on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the screenshots, Jerry.
There are screenshots?
Yes, if you go to the market link. You know, the market now allows screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I like it, but it's certainly a different idea. While Jerry looks at that.
Oh, look! It's going the whole metro route.
A lot of things That's are.
Funny. Yeah.
Comcast is going to launch a streaming service called StreamPix for its users. An Android app will be offered within the year. Yay if you're a Comcast user. Meanwhile, back here for our non-Comcast users, Dropbox feature for instant camera upload is now out of beta. So if you go to the market and update your Dropbox, you can now have it automatically upload your camera images to your Dropbox.
Now this is cool.
It's a long-awaited feature. In fact, my brother was down in your neck of the woods taking his family to Disney. Just before he left, he got a new phone. And while he was there, he took a lot of pictures. And before he could get back, he got a bad phone and the phone failed. So he had a choice. He could send it to the manufacturer to try to extract the pictures, or he could send it back and exchange it within the 30-day policy to get a replacement phone. Had he had this app, he wouldn't have had to worry. He could just send it directly back to the purchaser.
Mm-hmm.
Shame he doesn't listen to his brother.
He's
not listening to this podcast, so he didn't hear about this when it was in beta.
I am so going to be uploading that, like, or getting that, like, immediately.
Yeah, just make sure you go into the setup for it. The Cerberus security app, which I used and continue to use, I set it up just before I went to Italy, hits 100,000 users and is offering free licenses till the end of the month. So, Jerry, if you're interested in security, you should sign up. No charge.
Security on the on Android phones or on phones in general is still very much an area in birth. So. Yeah,
but one of the things this would allow you to do that might be worth it is remote wipe. So it allows for a remote wipe of your phone in the event somebody steals it, and it allows you to get the location of your phone by logging into their web app.
Okay.
It's not the same as a security scanner. It's basically something that hides in the background, and should you need to access it, let's say that an evil person steals your phone from you, you could go to your computer, log into the app, and have the camera on the phone take a picture of the potential criminal that you could supply to the police.
Hmm. Well, there's a feature that just sounds ripe for abuse.
Well, if somebody wants to take a picture of me when I'm using my phone, they're welcome to. Anyway, moving along, I mentioned that the Chrome beta has been updated. And one of the VPs over there said that it will improve by leaps and bounds. So I'm guessing this is a priority for them.
Well, if there's anything Google has proven, it's that they can write a browser.
I won't disagree. Nova Launcher has left beta. Nova Launcher is billed as everyone's favorite ICS launcher, available in a free and paid version. And this is from the developer.
I would disagree with that. It's not my favorite ICS launcher.
Yes, but this is from the developer who brought you the Tesla LED flashlight app.
Now, that's a cool app. Yes. I like that app. I use that app.
So maybe you would be interested in Nova Launcher once you get your copy of Ice Cream Sandwich.
Which, who knows when that'll be.
I'll try the nightlies for the Nook may start up again now that they have the servers. We talked about that last week. I'm sure you listened.
That I don't know that.
I'm sure you listened to the episode. Because
I did not. You know, you had to, you remember you had to play the voicemail for me?
Why is it no one ever listens to the show? I know you're out there.
Somebody listens to it, but you don't listen to it. I don't listen to it. Just shut
No, I'm saying nobody I know listens to the show. Most of the people, with the exception of Murph, who I've met, who listen to the show don't know me. That really hurts my feelings sometimes. You know, none of my family listens to the show. Nobody I know in person. And, you know, when I say, well, I'm sure that you occasionally tune in, I get laughter. And that hurts my feelings. I appreciate all the people who do tune in. That this does not diminish you. It's just disappointing that people who know me don't take the effort. Does anybody who knows you listen?
I don't even think my family knows that I do a podcast. I mean, my family that lives here does. But, like, my mom and my dad, I don't think they know.
Okay, well, if they don't know, they have a perfect excuse. So you know what else they don't know, Jerry?
That I have a bicycle?
I was going to go with that the Domino's Pizza app is now available in the United States. So you can order Domino's Pizza directly from your phone.
Well, there's an app I'm not going to use. Hello, Domino's, calories.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right, man.
I always found it interesting that there was that whole... what was that thing? Oh, yes, the Domino's Pizza Tracker, where it tells you your pizza's arriving, but they don't actually track the pizza.
I've always been suspect. I mean, is that, to me, it just seems, is it actually tracking what's going on with your pizza?
No, it's based on estimates.
Well, it should take this long to do that.
I believe it's the latter. It should take this long to do that. So So you could, it could tell you that you're enjoying your pizza when you're not enjoying your pizza.
Okay. Because it would be cool if there was like an actual, you know, the technology would not even be that difficult for it to actually track the progress of your pizza, right?
Yes. I think we also need to respond to Mert. He said that he listened and left a comment asking about where Jerry was, and nobody replied. That's because Jerry wasn't here to reply.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And if you order Domino's pizza in your area, you should be shot, is what Murph says. Apparently, there's no good pizza by me. Oh, there is. I had pizza this evening. Very good local pizza.
Well,
but I've ordered Domino's.
So what pizza should I eat? Little Caesars?
I think he's referring to, you know, the glutton of high-quality New York pizza. New York is known for its pizza.
I have no New York pizza near me.
Okay, then you may.
But I don't want to be shot.
Yeah, I think he's referring specifically to me. That if I order it, Murph will come and shoot me.
Okay.
Citibank Mobile for Android now accepts mobile check deposits. I used to order Domino's Pizza when I was in college, which I went to college outside of New York City. So I have an excuse. Anyway, let's see. The Manetto Near-Field Communication microSD card is now available for $30, which includes $10 in spending money. It's currently working for the Samsung Galaxy S line, and they're hoping to expand. But what I really want is somebody to hack this. Not for the money part, but for all the other things you could do with near-field communication. I don't care about the money. I just want to do all those cool near-field communications things, like rubbing my phone against something and having it do something. You know, I'm waiting for the hobbyist to do something. You know what I mean, like the guy who hooked the USB drive up to his tablet and ran a DOS emulator. I want somebody to do something interesting with this and hacking it.
Okay.
And I've returned to Astrid. I was mentioning it last week, and what happens? Astrid has been updated with a new tablet-optimized UI, subtasks, and more. And it's actually changed a lot since I talked about it early on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It now offers tag lists, filters to display relevant information, deadlines, color coding, a web app with syncing, as well as Google Tasks and productive saving. Excuse me, syncing. And you can outsource tasks using TaskRabbit. So if you don't want to do the thing that's on your to-do list, you can pay somebody else to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have my to-do list up.
That's an interesting...
I'm using it as a shopping
list. That's kind of innovative.
What, TaskRabbit?
Outsource your task.
Yeah, that's a TaskRabbit is a third-party site, but it's included integration to send the task that you've put into the to-do manager to that site. What task do you want to outsource, Jerry? Would you like to take my dry cleaning in?
No.
Okay.
I've got a check that I need to deposit that I've... needed a deposit for the last week and a half.
Well, why don't you download the Citibank mobile app and do a mobile check deposit?
Because I don't use Citibank.
Does your bank have mobile check deposit?
You know what? They might. I'll have to look into that because that would just be straight silly, wouldn't it?
I know mine has started mobile check deposit, but they don't yet have an Android app. So you have to sort of take a picture and upload it to them. But they're hoping to get it sometime within the year. But I'm trying to get my life more organized, and so I have a to-do list. It's starting out mostly as a shopping list, but I'm hoping to get into more productive to-doing and keeping track of things. Mm-hmm. So right now on my to-do list, I need to take in some dry cleaning, although I'm not dry cleaning my dry cleaning, so I probably shouldn't call it dry cleaning. I need to buy some
magnetic. Pressed?
Well, no, they have a special, which is shirts for $1.25, so I can get a month's worth of shirts for $20. They do a better job than I do.
Interesting.
Well, it's an experiment. I need an average of 4 to 5 shirts per week for work purposes. I know you working at home do not need to get dressed up to go to work. I'm imagining.
That's right.
Well, unless I often
work in pajamas.
Well, I've done that. You know, I've worked at home, worked in my pajamas, but I have an office and they expect me to wear clothes. How rude of them. So somebody suggested to me that I consider taking in my shirts so that they look more professional. And then I don't have to do them myself. So I agreed to a pilot program where I will be taking in my shirts for the next 2 months and seeing whether or not there is a benefit to me of paying somebody else to do my laundry.
I'm sure there will be.
I don't think I can afford pants, but I think I can afford shirts. We'll see how that works.
Good luck.
Okay. But in the meantime, if you have any advice about how I can be more productive using Android, I continue to work on it, and that's been a common theme for me, as you might have noticed, Jerry. I want to be a better me.
And who doesn't want to be a better me?
I don't want to be a better you. I want to be a better me. I think you're a reasonably good you. Why would I want to be you?
Except my memory sucks.
Have you considered a calendar app? You know, I did consider going into Google Calendar and sending you a invite for this event. But I thought that might have hurt your feelings.
Yeah, it might have, but it would have been well deserved.
Okay, well, I was just, you know, awkward by myself. Anyway, just to point out why it is that I do not do video reviews, I've included a unique video review of the Galaxy Note.
And do you have a Galaxy Note?
No.
Then how do you review it?
Well, no, this is somebody else's review. I'm using it as an example of why it is that I would not be a good video reviewer.
Oh.
It's a very interesting review. Full of personality.
Well, you have that.
I have personality.
You do have personality.
I know. Not everybody thinks I do. I've been called a robot. I think it's because I have a soft, soothing voice. Murph has commented that I don't wear... Is it that I don't wear pants to work, or that Jerry doesn't wear pants to work? I wear pants to work, but I launder them myself. I just can't afford to have my pants professionally laundered, except on special occasions. Over the weekend, what little weekend I had, I did my laundry. In fact, I have a whole laundry basket full of stuff to put away. But Jerry, do you fold your pants, or do you hang your pants?
They end up in the closet on hangers.
Okay, well, what is more efficient? Because I was asking some people's opinions on this, and I got that several people told me that it is more efficient to fold and stack your pants, and other people told me that they prefer to hang. In storage space, wrinkle possibilities, and etc. So I've tried both methodologies, and I haven't come to a conclusion yet.
Well, bear in mind that my t-shirts often end up on hangers and closets. So for me, it's more efficient for them to be on hangers because that way my pants are near my shirts.
How much hanger space do you have? You must have a big closet. Or do you just have three t-shirts and keep washing them very frequently?
I've got maybe 15 or 20 shirts and like three or four pants and three or four shorts, you know, jean shorts.
Okay,
it doesn't take up a whole lot of space.
Well, I have more stuff only because I don't have enough time to do laundry every 3 days.
Yeah, I've got a magic box, dude.
What sort of magic box is this?
It's a box that's in my bathroom. I put dirty clothes in, and magically they reappear in my closet, washed, ironed, and put up.
I'm sorry, I can't afford one of these magic boxes.
They're expensive.
I can imagine. I have to do all of my laundering personally. That's why I'm experimenting with outsourcing. If any of you use TaskRabbit and would like to come over and wash my pants and press them for a reasonable price, probably I'm not going to get any takers on that. Anyway, moving along, if you could have one feature currently not in Android, what would it be? I just thought that was a good question. What's missing? I keep having this argument with the waiter at the local restaurant who owns an iPad.
The ability to compile.
Compile what?
Whatever. Local APKs. I would like for there to be a full-blown Android IDE that runs on Android.
Mert wants me to send my pants down to you for running through your magic box. I think the cost...
I'm sure you would get them back and they would look great.
Yeah, but, you know, the cost of shipping.
Yep.
You know, I believe in sourcing locally. And Murph wants a command line interface. You can get a terminal. You can't do very much in the terminal. There are some things you can do. But there is a command line terminal emulator available. But what I wanted actually goes back to what I was saying earlier, which is a better focus on desktop to mobile integration. The idea being that no matter what device I'm using, and to some degree Android has this, but I feel that they haven't been looking in this area in a while. They have it because of syncing. But I want to make it so that no matter what device I'm using, the information that I was looking at on one device is very easy to move to the next device and back. So whether I'm holding a phone, whether I'm holding a tablet, whether I'm holding a computer, I should be able to easily access the same information.
I agree.
And I did give you sort of a developer's corner, but it's more of a thinking piece. The Amazon App Store is proving lucrative for developers. Of 110 top apps appearing in both the App Store and the market, 42 of them are making more money with Amazon. With 28% of the revenue.
I believe it.
Distimo claims that 50% of Amazon apps aren't in the Android market. Which actually interests... What? I have to really look.
That sounds backwards.
They're saying that 50% of the apps that are in the Amazon App Store are not also in the Android market.
I know, which seems backwards.
It does. But maybe either I misread it, or there's something that we really have to look at. So I want to look at the Amazon App Store and see, are there apps there that I did not know existed because they're not in the Android market? I do get things from the Amazon App Store every so often. But are there things that I'm missing because I'm not searching for new apps there?
That's goofy.
Many things are. And one final thought, since you weren't available last week, and I've been very busy, over the course of the weekend, I did a little writing.
What did you write?
I wrote a whole bunch of gadget wisdom stories. I know that you get very excited when I talk about all of the interesting things that are going on. So I had a reprise of my story on toilet technology. This is part 3, and it includes vanity images of my actual toilet.
Wow.
So the story includes images of the Gadget Wisdom commode.
Because why not?
Well, it's a discussion of about 2 years ago, I went and reviewed the MJSI dual flush converter and turned my toilet into a dual flush toilet.
Right.
And now Yes. And then a little after that, I went and installed the MJSI Hydro Clean water saving flush valve. And now I'm back because I've decided to switch from the MJSI Hydro-Rite to the Being Water dual flush converter system. And I went to discuss why that is.
Okay, why is that?
Well, actually, there are a few very important things. See, now the MJSI has some leaking issues.
Now, that's not good.
Well, it's a drop-in converter, and what they do is, in order to secure it, they use a zip tie attached to the overflow valve. Whereas if you use the drop-in converter for Being Water, which is a small plumbing company based in California, what they use is a wing nut that tightens around the overflow tube. Now, I opted for the more inclusive unit, which requires you to remove your toilet tank. So I have never actually removed a toilet tank before. So I actually went and removed my toilet tank and replaced the bolts that attach it to the bowl, as well as the gasket, which was a new experience for me. And because
interesting.
Because I removed the tank and installed this new overflow valve. Actually, it's an overflow tube and a flush valve. I always get those two mixed up. Since I did that, it means that the whole mechanism is so secure because the Being Water dual flush system locks into place inside the new flush valve. So it's not going to come off, so I don't have to worry about leakage and dripping. Also, I finally have a handle back on my toilet. I've had a button ever since I put on the MJSI Hydro-Rite dual flush converter. Now I have a handle again.
Wow.
Did you look at the pictures, Jerry?
No.
I'm hurt. I'm very proud of
myself. I'm not real big on toilet technology, dude. For me, it's a place to sit down and, do my thing.
Okay, well, I also covered LED light bulbs and induction cooking. Also two subjects I've been experimenting with lately. Are you a fan of induction cooking?
I'm really a fan of any type of cooking. You know, if it creates food that tastes good, then I'm a happy camper.
So I've been doing a lot of home improvement technology writing over the last week. I talked about home water filtration, and you can even see an image of the home water filter that I opted to install, although I did secure the services of a professional plumber for that. I sort of needed him on the toilet job, though, but I learned a lot. I had to call him in because I still had a leak.
Oh.
Yes.
That was my sympathy all. Oh.
Excuse me, but I think it worked out. It's been a very busy week here in renovation. I actually had my kitchen and bathroom painted the week before last. You would have heard more about this, except you were unavailable. So I've been doing a lot of renovation here in terms of replacing some things. I have a new shower head, which uses a lot less water but produces a lot more pressure. And I may be talking about that as well. I found that talking about some of the things and the decisions I've been making has been very interesting for my readers. And I'm hoping to talk more about that because some of the other thought pieces I've put take a lot more time to assemble and I sometimes don't get to finish them. But talking about a project I'm working on works very well. I also challenge the people at Time Warner Cable on Twitter to stop lying about copy control flags.
Do they say they're not there?
No, they say they're there, but they claim that it is the content providers who are responsible. Mm-hmm. Whereas I maintain that if that was true, then their competitors would also be blocking same. Therefore, logically, if the content providers allow their competing cable companies to provide this service, but Time Warner Cable in all markets does not, then logically it is a corporate policy and not at the direction of their content providers.
Seems logical.
Yes, so I intend to blog about my email from them, and I would start a petition if I thought it would help. I really wish it would.
Well, if I can sign the petition, just let me know.
I will see what I can do once I will be writing my real hope, since people don't listen to me as much as they listen to other people, that if I write about my thoughts, that it is picked up by a larger blog that can marshal its listeners and readers.
As long as it doesn't involve martial law, we should be good.
Well, you know anybody who works at a big tech blog?
I do not.
Okay. I'll keep working on it. There's always Twitter.
Have you tried talking to Ben?
Who does he work for?
He used to write for Engadget.
Well, he's the guy who said that he was leaving Windows Media Center?
Yeah.
And I think you talked to him a while back and got into a very heated discussion. No, I have not.
I'm just saying he might be a good place to start.
I will write up the story first so that I have some documentation of my thoughts. I'll try to get to that over the weekend.
For the record,
yes.
Any discussion with Ben is a heated discussion.
I love heated discussions.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
Don't take it personal, and life is good.
Excuse me. I was raised on heated discussions. I can have a heated discussion about anything. I also want to congratulate Murph on installing Fedora 16 on a new SSD in his laptop in anticipation of NELF. Just to remind everybody, the Northeast GNU Linux Fest will be taking place March 17th. If you happen to be in the vicinity of Worcester, Massachusetts, you can check out northeastlinuxfest.org. And, of course, I will be in attendance. I will be there with Dan Fry. I know this because we've made arrangements to carpool. Oh, by the way, Jerry, Dan told me that if you miss another episode, I should call him and he'll fill in for you.
Cool.
Yes, so now, I came to the realization last week that we didn't have a contingency plan in the event of a missing Jerry.
Sorry.
Well, no. When we originally started the show, we weren't doing a live show. So if you didn't show up, I just postponed the show. But now that people show up and expect a show, that puts me in the position of making sure a show goes on. So any contingency plan you'd like to contribute in the event of your absence is always appreciated. Otherwise, I may just have to wing it.
I will make an effort to ensure that you don't have to do that again.
Okay, because I think
I'm really sorry.
I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just saying I need
a
plan.
Yes, you are, and you're doing a good job at it. But it's okay, because I kind of deserve it.
I'm told Jews are good at that. I think it's a cultural thing. We're good at guilt. But I'm actually not trying to make you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just saying that I wasn't prepared, and I want to make sure if it happens again, I'm prepared.
It's like all the people that have, they've got this backup plan in place. They never actually test to see if they have if their recovery plan works.
I understand. I studied that in school. I am very much aware of it. I still don't test my recovery plan, but I'm still aware that you should. On that note, Jerry, please do not test the recovery plan by not showing up next week.
Okay.
I'm glad I have one, but I'd rather not need it. I do this show because I enjoy talking to you.
Alrighty.
Okay, well, that should...
Should we wrap it up? Because yeah. We've been running for about an hour and a half now.
Well, I was trying to make up for all the Jerry I missed last week.
Oh, how sweet.
Besides, we were short last week because I can only talk by myself for so long. I was only able to get a 40-minute show.
I completely understand.
Yes, I did try to do voices.
I'm so going to have to listen to last week's show.
Yeah. Anyway, you should. You see what you missed. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We will, won't we, Jerry?
Yes, we will.
Okay. We will be back next week with another exciting episode. That will be our first episode in March. Are you excited about a March episode, Jer?
Yay.
Well, it's amazing how quickly things go. But, I hear that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. So it should be an interesting month, and we'll have more from the Mobile World Congress if there's anything more to happen there. I saw a few things flow through my stream that might be interesting for next week.
Cool.
We'll talk about it then.
Alrighty.
And just to remember,
next week.
Just to go over those things, you can reach Jerry Jones at jerry.jones@gmail.com. Just remember, early Monday evening, send him an email reminding him to show up. I just want to see how many emails you get.
That'll be so cool.
And
what about the show?
Yes. And you can reach me, using the podcast at Android Buffet email address, also the contact form on the website. I have to make sure I haven't missed any contacts. And, of course, on Twitter.
How many contacts do people need? You got a phone number you can call us. You got emails you can reach us. There's Twitter out there if it's an emergency.
2012 Winnica is the phone number, by the way.
There you go.
Send us a voicemail, and you can find me on Twitter at Gadget Wisdom, or you can check out GadgetWisdom.com, where I've been on a bit of a writing binge lately. Admittedly, you know, sometimes I have time, sometimes I don't, but I was in the mood to talk about what I was working on. So I did, and I may continue. So check it out. I love commentary. So if you want to see pictures of my toilet, check it out.
Who wouldn't?
Excuse me, when you write a piece of software, are you not proud of it? Do you not want to show it off to people?
I am, yes.
I replaced every single part inside that toilet, all by myself. This is the first time I've ever done this. It's my baby, figuratively speaking.
You know, just this morning, I took a process that required roughly 300 SQL queries and narrowed it down to 8.
And aren't you proud of that?
I am.
So look at my toilet. It's open source.
You know what I found out after I did that?
What?
Nobody cared.
I care, Jerry. The same way I want you to care about my toilet. It's open source. I took the lid off. You can see all the parts work.
I will swing by and check out your toilet.
Okay. I'll try to write about something.
I'm about done for the day, so I think, we really got to end this because energy level rapidly dropping.
Okay, Murph says that some things need to be closed source. Excuse me, I didn't show anything in the toilet. I drained it. You know, I cleaned it. You know, it was a vanity shot. You know, I made sure that the toilet looked as beautiful as possible before I took the pictures. And on that pleasant note, that brings us to another end of another podcast. We'll see everybody next week.
See you next week, folks.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye.